Unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government. Reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio, Studio A, for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Good day, wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char, and let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where we're already deriving benefits from my new schedule of Monday, Wednesday, Friday, because it was a significant report out yesterday I found very disturbing. Pro-Trump attorney Sidney Powell and L. Lynn Wood are urging Georgians to boycott the state's upcoming U.S. Senate races unless officials change the voting systems to guarantee election security, claiming that voter fraud is so widespread that their ballots would not be counted fairly. Powell and Wood have spearheaded legal challenges to the results of the November 3rd election, echoing President Trump's allegations that the results of his race against Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden were rigged nationwide. The lawyers, the story continues, have acted on their own outside the Trump campaign, however, which distanced itself from Powell after she claimed during a campaign press conference that electronic voting systems throughout the country were manipulated as part of a broad conspiracy involving foreign countries. During a Stop the Steal rally for Trump supporters in Georgia Wednesday, Powell and Wood both used their speaking time to discourage attendees from showing up to the polls next month in the critical reelection race for sitting Republican Senators Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue. Let me now add the following observations. The two primary stratagems involved here are, number one, going to the state legislatures to hold hearings to explain exactly how vast has been the manipulation of the vote and the fraud that's committed. That is being conducted by Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis. Rudy, in my opinion, is doing a magnificent job. Any apprehensions I may have had about him from the past are being resolved now by his performance. Jenna is completely brilliant. The other strategy, carrying the case to the Supreme Court, is being borne by Lynn Wood and by Sidney Powell, and where we have other stories reporting about how, for example, Lynn Wood is making post after post, tweet after tweet that have been brilliant and on the mark. And now he has a new a report. The color revolution has been foiled and people are going to jail. I'm very interested in sorting this out and invited back Ed Hendry, who is an attorney by trade and has been following this very closely. Ed, welcome back to the Raw Deal.
Thank you.
Go ahead and lay us out what you think about your concerns. I know on its face, it's very, very troubling. On the other hand, I really find it inconceivable that Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell are betraying Trump. I don't believe that. Which leads me to wonder what's going on. Your thoughts?
Well, I believe that Sidney Powell is sincere, okay? And I am concerned about what Lynn Wood said at the rally. It makes no sense. It is to tell, and by the way, this is a rally that was attended by Republicans, and his advice is.
Did I lose you? Did I lose you? Okay. His advice is we're going to get back with Ed. We had this problem before.
Reached the voicemail box of 54065.
I'm going to continue then with other reports about the news where also during the second hour, we'll get further.
Jim?
Adam, we got you back?
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. It seems like every time that we have a connection with your show, I get disconnected. I don't know what's going on.
And I get it. There are those who try to interrupt everything I do. So just proceed. Go ahead. Tell us what Lynn Wood actually said that to you made no sense at all.
Well, his advice was that that the voters boycott the runoff election. And that makes no sense. Why would he say something like that? He said this, and I'm quoting, if they do not, and he's talking about address the voter fraudulent allegations, Loeffler, he says, Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue, if they do not do it, they have not earned your vote. Don't you give it to them. Why would you go back and vote in another rigged election? Fix it. You got to fix it before we'll do it again. And then he goes on and he's basically telling them, do not vote. He's eviscerating the Republican vote. And by doing that, he's guaranteeing that the Democratic senators will be elected. Why would he do that? This is very mysterious. Now, Breitbart has come out with information that apparently he has been a longtime Democrat supporter, both with funds and voting in Democratic primaries. Now, he has not denied that. He has not denied that. His response was to say that he had given money to a Trump Political Action Committee to the tune of $375,000, fine. And that he also solicited a $25,000 donation and gave it to, I think it was Purdue, and he gave $5,600 to Doug Collins, okay, who's a Republican. Okay, I'm sorry, $5,600. All right, fine. But he did not address the fact that in 2006, 2008, 2010, 2018, primary elections, he voted in those Democratic primary elections. The state records show that. Now, obviously, the state records can't show what his vote is. That would be improper. But the fact that he voted in Democratic primaries, and I don't believe there's any record of him ever voting in a Republican primary, he's a Democrat. So here we have somebody who is a Democrat who has not denied revelations of his financial support for Democratic politicians, now working to rectify the voter fraud. And what does he do? He comes out and undermines the reelection or the election campaigns of Republican senators. That is very odd behavior. And, you know, it harkens back to some of the things that Roy Cohn did to Joe McCarthy. You know, Roy Cohn was actually very much pro-communist. He very much thought that the campaign against communists in the government was a witch hunt and part of a right-wing conspiracy. He said that. And in 1949, he openly called anti-communism as a witch hunt and said Alger Hiss was a victim of a right-wing conspiracy. That's in 1949. Now suddenly, okay, he ends up as Joe McCarthy's right-hand man. How did he get there? Well, he was recommended to McCarthy by a guy named George Sikorsky. Now, George Sikorsky, okay, who, by the way, was referred to by Cohen as his rabbi, all right, he went to Russia with a large number of other Jews to help the Bolshevik Revolution. He was the editor of the English language communist newspaper, okay? After he left, he went to China as a journalist on behalf of the communist revolutionary leader there. He claimed that his communist activities were all just a youthful mistake. However, when you look at what he did when he suddenly switched sides and became a right-wing conservative, he repeatedly misdirected anti-communist movement efforts into blind alleys, false hopes, confusion. And so Lynn Wood would be in a perfect position, okay, to undermine the efforts of Republicans. This is very much a partisan issue. This is clearly a partisan issue. And if he's a partisan who's a Democrat, what is he doing working so closely with Sidney Powell? Sidney Powell might be just like Joe McCarthy and be duped. And by the way, it was after this that Joe McCarthy realized, I think, he was duped. And his some of his speeches, he alluded to that. Okay. We see the same thing that happened to Jim Garrison in his trial when he was prosecuting. Who was it? Who was it he was prosecuting? For the involvement in the assassination of President Kennedy.
Oh, you're talking about Clay Shaw.
Clay Shaw, that's right. And what happened, as you recall, during that trial? He called a witness, okay, to the stand, and how that witness got to be a witness is really kind of a mystery. And it turns out that the witness was a plant designed to undermine the legitimacy of the trial. And it turns out that the opposing counsel knew just the questions to ask to reveal that the witness was a little loony. Basically, the witness admitted that he fingerprinted his daughter when she left the house to go to college, and then fingerprinted her again when she returned to make sure she hadn't been replaced. Okay? So, I mean, very strange behavior, and Garrison was dumbfounded. He knew nothing about this, but opposing counsel certainly knew about it. Somebody on his team prodded him to call that witness. So Sidney Powell has to be very concerned, okay, about who's on her team. And just recently, if you recall, some of the media were chuckling over the fact that there were some pretty basic misspellings in the title of her brief that she filed in one of her filings. Well, that when I looked at that, those misspellings, to me, it seemed to be the type of thing that would be like a dirty trick. Somebody from the inside was doing that on purpose. And throughout her brief, there were spaces missing and so forth. Now, they were shortly thereafter corrected. But how do you misspell, you know, I think it was simple things like the word district and so forth. It was clear. These things, to me, looked like sabotage. Okay? And so she has to be concerned that her efforts might be sabotage. But Lynn Wood's statement at that rally were rather puzzling. My understanding, according to Breitbart News, is that Donald Trump personally called Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell to tell them not to give that kind of advice. Okay? So, you know, now Sidney Powell, of course, she's, you know, a very courageous woman. But understand this, there's a certain loneliness in that courage. And so she finds a certain succor in the fact that Lynn Wood, another powerful attorney, has come alongside her. Well, she has to be very careful. She has to be very careful that he's not, you know, doing something to undermine her efforts. And I think his statement the other day is evidence that, you know, maybe that's what's happening here.
Oh, Ed, I think you're making wonderful points. It raises huge red flags. I couldn't agree more, because we're doing another double feature today, because Rolf Lindgren will be on the second hour to talk about developments here in Wisconsin. I want to open the call-in lines for the second half hour of each of the hours. In other words, after the break, we'll take your calls already to talk with me and Ed Hendry about Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell and this presentation they made to not participate in the vote. I agree, Ed, on its face, it's completely absurd, contradictory, makes no sense at all. The number to call in, 540-352-4452. Now, the president is going down to Georgia, Ed, and I don't think anyone who is an enthusiast about Trump, which includes, by the way, a very substantial percentage of Democrats as well as independents, and many blacks and Latinos, and Georgia has a very substantial black population, which I believe is one of the principal reasons they went so far out of their way to steal the election and did a massive overload. It wasn't very subtle. I, in fact, have a comment that Roger Stone made the observation on an InfoWars interview that, in his opinion, the Democrats and the powers wanting Biden in totally overplayed their hand. Not just in the scope of the fraud, but the fact that they claim there is no evidence of any voter fraud. If they were smarter, in Roger's opinion, they would say something to the effect that, sure, there was some voter fraud, but nothing unusual compared to past elections. By insisting on the no evidence position, they really incriminate themselves. I think Rogers got that spot on, Ed. Would you not agree?
Well, yeah, but see, here's the thing. The voter fraud's been going on for decades. There's a website, blackboxvoting, I think it's .org.
Yeah.
Let me check that. I recommend that. It's blackboxvoting.org, which has all kinds of information about electronic voting. Electronic voting has always had issues, okay? And so one of the reasons they wanted to distance themselves from Sidney Powell is the fact that she actually is revealing systemic issues with electronic voting. There are politicians that are in office in Washington and state politicians who are there by virtue of voter fraud committed by the very systems that now she's attacking. Well, they don't want that to happen. They know they don't deserve to be in office on both Republican and Democratic sides. Think about it. If you could determine with a flip of a switch whether somebody is elected or not, you have complete control over the politician who's ultimately elected. What power that would be. And there are people in office who know they don't belong there. And this has been going on for a long time. What happened in this election is Trump won by a landslide. It wasn't even close. And so they, with all the efforts they planned ahead of time, okay, they realized they had to do something to increase the votes for Biden by an exponential, by a great deal more than they ever expected. So what happened in the 2016 election was that they had it set up to rig there as well. But Trump won by such a great margin that their rigging wasn't enough. See, Hillary Clinton had a lukewarm, very tepid campaign. Why? Well, she knew things were rigged. She knew it was rigged. The problem is the rigging wasn't enough. He won by such a landslide that they couldn't rig it enough. Well, this time, he actually won by more over Biden. And by the way, one clue that this was rigged and Biden knew it was rigged is look at his complete refusal to campaign. Biden had no campaign. He had very few campaign stops, very few campaign appearances. He never submitted to any questioning. His campaign was a complete sham. Why? Because he knew he didn't have to. He knew the fix was in. This has been going on for years. This rigging has been going on for years. These electronic voting booths, okay, are so vulnerable to rigging, and they've been vulnerable to rigging for years.
Oh, Ed, you're 100% correct. And remember, I mean, that's why they overplayed their hand. And that's why they had to make the adjustment at 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning to get that massive dump to support Biden. They had once again underestimated the turnout for Trump. And as you observe, a massive landslide. By my calculation, Trump beat Biden by 50 million votes or more. I mean, it wasn't remotely close. I mean, the whole situation is so absurd. I therefore really like Roger's point that by, you know, denying there was any fraud, that this was a perfect election, they have impaled themselves, because the amount of evidence coming out before the legislatures is simply massive. We had a Georgia case where after they shut down for the night, four of the workers pulled out boxes of ballots that had been underneath the table and began processing them all for Biden, went on for hours, and all captured on CCTV. You could hardly have a more powerful proof of corruption. So given this is being presented to the legislatures, it was a wonderful presentation made by a woman attorney. I think the legislatures are going to be hard-pressed not to assume the responsibility of sending the appropriate electors to the Electoral College, and they will be Trump electors. That is my anticipation. I also believe, Ed, that what they hear from Sidney and from Lynn Wood is going to be overshadowed completely when the president comes down and tells everyone to vote. Everyone will listen to Donald Trump. No one will listen to Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell. That's my take. Yours?
Yeah, and the problem with Sidney Powell is she's kind of hurt her credibility by hooking up with Lynn Wood. That's the problem. I believe that she is sincere, but she has, you know, she does have sort of a blind spot. She trusts people too much. I mean, she trusted Judge Sullivan at one time until Judge Sullivan went off the rails. And by the way, the powers that be are so powerful that even the Attorney General has come out and said that he viewed the elections as being honest elections. I can't remember the exact words he said, but that man should be fired immediately. He's a liar. He's a liar and a fraud himself. He's part of the deep state.
Of course he is. And that's where I think that this trap that Trump set with his executive order of last 12 September 2018 is going to have a huge, huge sweep. Remember, he promised to drain the swamp. I believe this is the mechanism by means of which he's going to fulfill that promise. Ed, we're about to hit the break. I can't tell you how happy I am to have you back today. You've done a super job of laying out the issues. Again, I repeat, we're going to be taking calls for Ed and me now after the break about these issues. And then the second hour, Rolf will be on for the first half hour. We'll take further questions a second. 540-352-4452. I repeat, 540-352-4452. Call us.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look! Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
So do we have any callers here, Mitchell, who want to join us? I would be glad to take your thoughts yourself, Mitchell. I'm fascinated by the situation we're in. Please.
Oh, absolutely, Jim. Yeah, no callers yet. But yeah, we are really seeing these multiple anomalies, fraud within the voting system, and you know they're spread out across really the key swing states. It's not a mistake, and you know this so far, you know the Republicans have essentially done you know a cursory overview. And not an in-depth investigation into all of the voter fraud. You know, the biggest category for voter fraud would really be people that never vote, that were automatically registered and sent a mail-in ballot, but somehow voted.
Well, Mitchell, what's your take? It seems to me an attorney of the prominence of Lynn Wood, if he turns out to be a turncoat to destroy Trump, that his own reputation in turn will be destroyed. I'm therefore very, very puzzled about it. Ed has made so many excellent points about why this is the damnedest, most peculiar thing he could possibly have done. And he's observed that Trump himself has called Lynn and Sidney to tell them, don't say those things. And of course, I think the people won't respond. They'll find it very peculiar. And when Trump comes down and tells them to turn out en masse, they're going to turn out en masse. I expect an overwhelming vote in Georgia for Trump. And because they know about all the ways these elections are stolen, these are going to be the most closely scrutinized elections in American history. Ed, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, interesting when you look at Lynn Wood's statement, okay? Here's what he said when Breitbart revealed all of his voting in the Democratic primary. Okay, he said Breitbart is dishonest. He said historically I am nonpartisan. This year I was partisan because I love Donald Trump. Okay, now let's take that apart. He says historically I am nonpartisan. Well, it's not really nonpartisan to vote in the Democratic primary. And to not vote in the Republican primary. He can't, of course, once he's a registered Democrat, I don't think you're allowed to. Okay, but I don't, each state's different that way. But those are facts. That's from the voting record. Okay, so that's not nonpartisan. So when he says historically I'm nonpartisan, that's not really true. Historically, he's partisan. He's a Democrat.
Ed, let me interrupt you. How did that voting record become public? I did not know voting records were made public as a rule. Therefore, could this record actually be a contrivance, a manufactured record to smear Lynn Wood?
Well, understand this, that it doesn't tell what the vote is. It simply tells whether the person voted. For example, my voting record, when I vote in an election, it shows I voted. It doesn't show who I voted for.
Right.
The fact that you voted is, I believe, a public record.
Oh, well, that's what I'm asking about. By the way, Mitchell, my producer, whom I invited to join us, Ed, has himself been active in politics in Virginia, and he knows a lot about campaign fraud and malfeasance from his own personal experience.
Yeah. No, I'm assuming that these are public records. And
yes, they're public records.
The fact that you voted in an election, I believe that is, and I've seen this before. And so here we have him on record in a Democratic primary voting in 2006, 2008, 2010, 2018 in the Democratic primary. And he says, historically, I am nonpartisan. Well, is that true? Apparently, there is record of him donating to Democratic politicians. Now, by the way, he did reveal also that he has also donated to Republicans. In fact, he said that he donated $375,000 to a Trump political action committee. And they also donated to $25,000, I believe it would have been to Purdue. Okay. But I can't understand that. I mean, sometimes people will do things in order to establish their bona fides. Okay. I mean, you see that with politicians all the time. And I don't know what he's doing here. Okay. But he's a chameleon at the very least. Is he unprincipled? Is he completely unprincipled so that he can flip flop from Democrat to Republican like that? I mean, the planks for the Republican Party is so different from that of the Democratic Party. Particularly on social issues like abortion, I don't know how you can flip-flop back and forth like that.
Mitchell, let me bring you in, and then I'll bring in Paul. Go ahead, Mitchell.
Well, you know, Linwood, you know, he's really been mishandling the shooting case with the young kid. I forgot his name. Yeah, Kyle Rittenhouse. And, you know, it seems that he's a publicity hound more than, you know, the detailed cross, you know, cover your ass, make sure your everything is right type of lawyer right now. Maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. I don't know. You know, I see these two different tracks of attacks against the system, one with Rudy and then one with Linwood and Sidney Powell. And they could actually split into three fronts of attack on the system, you know, one being more conspiratorial than the other, and the other bringing in the facts, and the other one just, you know, doing the dog whistling. But it does seem like it's that Linwood has, gosh, you know, why would you say don't vote in the primary? That's just important to swing the Senate. I mean, why would you say something like that?
Let me bring in Paul for his opinion and take. Paul, join the conversation.
You know, the most interesting thing that Mitch just said was maybe he is and maybe he isn't. And it just reminded me of, you know, so many of these memes that you see over the years, you know, of Shlomo Goldensteinberg in the shadows, you know, the caricature, rubbing his little hands together going, yeah, keep them guessing, keep them guessing. You know, this is exactly why, I'm sorry, gentlemen, but I'm just going to say something once again that fits. This is exactly why Henry Ford used to give a copy of the International Jew with every purchase of a Ford automobile. because that is the eternal problem, and it couldn't be more obvious than it is today. The only thing I know about Lynn Wood is he's suspicious, right? And maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. I read something about him pretty quickly regarding the Kyle Rittenhouse incident, which some people were saying was an op, and that Lynn Wood was basically an asset, one of these guys that just kind of shows up and, you know, does whatever he's supposed to do. That's kind of the way I would think about Barr. You know, why on earth would Trump appoint Barr to begin with? Because, you know, Barr was in the Bush senior administration, right? Similar to many other people that he's appointed, you just kind of question it. Why does he not know better?
Those are all good issues, Paul. Let me invite Ed to respond to the myth.
Yeah.
Well, it's the people that surround Trump, okay? And there's no doubt that probably his cabinet has been infiltrated and the people that advise him. I mean, that's the president, you know, when they first take office, they're like a babe in the woods. In fact, I think, who was it? Woodrow Wilson was described as a babe in the woods by his handlers. And what happened with John Kennedy was that after the Bay of Pigs, his eyes were opened and he realized he wasn't really in charge. Okay. And that things went bad when he decided to take charge. So he decided, okay, I'm going to take charge and actually be president. And the consequences, okay, were in Daley Plaza. So Trump,
right.
His eyes may be open, and we can hope for that, where he suddenly realizes he's been duped. And the fact that he was convinced to appoint Barr, whoever did that to him, somebody gave him bad advice, but whoever's doing that are his handlers, people that who knows, they're in that position because they have – they have connections, financial connections, usually. Okay. And, you know, a politician, I mean, their lifeblood is money. Okay. And so they will tend to bend towards where the money flows. And so while everybody talks about him being a billionaire, he's not financially independent. He's not at all. And so you can't really trust any of these politicians. And, you know, a lot of them are somewhat unprincipled.
Yes, yes.
I only hope. Remember, John Kennedy was completely unprincipled, but he suddenly decided to have principles. And that's what we can hope for with Trump, that he suddenly decides to have principles.
Well, I'll come back to that. From what I know of JFK, he was one of the most principled. There are ordinary uses of that term because of his sexual dalliances that might use to argue against it. But in my opinion, you're mistaken about Jack. And that's why he was taken out. Trump has had all these years. Remember, he was under assault before his inauguration. He knows what he's up against. He laid the trap with the executive order of 12 September 2018. I believe he's going to close it. Brew has joined us. Brew, join the conversation. Your thoughts?
Yeah, as far as why was Barr appointed, well, he needed to get somebody in there. Nobody easier trying to get through the Senate and get it quick because he needed to fill a position was to use Barr. And who suggested him? Joe DiGenova suggested him. So it was a recommendation from that particular fella. There's your answers.
Well, you know, you made me unenthusiastic about Joe DiGenova. I followed him for a very long time. I believe that he and his wife, Victoria Tensing, are very principled, care about the United States, and were giving what they felt was their best advice. Brew? Paul?
Yeah, so it just makes the point of what I've made so many times on the show and other places, that it's the reason why not only most Americans can't be blamed for, you know, not caring about politics, but it's sort of, like I said, it makes the case. You know, the amount of mental and emotional energy that it takes, as well as time, to just keep up on this, to keep up on the details, it just wears people out and they just don't care anymore. But see, Trump has sort of proved that people will care and do care if they believe in somebody and he says the sort of things they want to hear. This is what Trump did in 2016, and this is what he continues to do from time to time, even though now and then he throws a monkey wrench in some of the other stuff. So, you know, again, it's just going to be, are we going to be let down and have the rug pulled out from us again? You know, it's this tension that they like to keep going. And if Trump doesn't do anything, if he doesn't really take power, and by take power, I mean try people, kill people, hang people, put them in front of firing squads, you know, do the kind of stuff that Kennedy needed to do. I mean, Kennedy was a grown man. He should have known what was going on. And the mistake that Kennedy made historically was not to either arrest or kill his enemies. This is what politics is about, unfortunately. So if Trump doesn't do this...
It's easier to say these things in retrospect, of course. Ed, your further thoughts.
Well, I was just looking through to the Geneva. Apparently, there are some conflicts of interest with his wife. Okay, my understanding is she was connected with some of the people in the Mueller team. So I don't know anything about him. All right. How Barr got, I mean, I question a lot of things Barr has done. For example, his position that the investigation that they're doing up in New York, they sandbagged that and we're not going to do anything prior to the election. I don't think it would have made a difference because I think the landslide was, I mean, it was clear. All you had to do was look at when Biden had an event, they never showed the crowd. Why? There wasn't a crowd. There was a smattering of people. You look at the difference between that and the stops at which Trump had his rallies with thousands of people there. Very reminiscent of the distinction between him and Hillary Clinton in 2016, only more so.
Yes, Mitchell, your further thoughts.
Well, you know, we always knew this voter fraud was there. It's never been detailed, and we never had the mail-in balloting the way we do. So, you know, I believe a lot of times, you know, what happens is, you know, it's the boiling frog syndrome is, you know, there was just so much gradual cheating in the election system. And nobody looked at it. Nobody checked it. And then all of a sudden, somebody pumped a bunch of money into it, put it on steroids, and there you are. You have a third world election system here in the United States.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Paul, your further thoughts.
Well, the other interesting point I'll bring up, and I think it's, in my opinion, pretty solid ground, is I was listening to a show the other day. And they were discussing essentially Dominion and all the other, associated shenanigans that have gone on. And there wasn't really any other thing to conclude that with the history of Dominion and you know, the people that were involved in setting it up, that it had to be one of these CIA shell companies, these CIA fronts. And that, you know, if anybody should, be aware of anything, it's that the intelligence community had to be involved in this. So therefore, Trump's got to know that the swamp is extensive. So, again, as we've discussed on your show, Jim, many times, Trump has got to take down the media. He's got to take down the FBI. And he's got to take down the CIA. If he doesn't, then we're just going to be in the same situation 4 years from now and 4 years from now. It's just going to continue to get worse. So that's been my stance on Trump for a long time. I stand by it.
I agree with all of that, Paul. Meanwhile, you know, Sydney has talked about the Dominion machines in Venezuela allegedly being used by Hugo Chavez to ensure his reelection. I think, on the contrary, they were there so the CIA could deny Hugo Chavez, and where it appears that Gina Haspel, of all people, was actually in Frankfurt supervising the count, the tabulation of the theft of the election. When she was apprehended, I do believe she was wounded. There appear to have been five involved in that assault who died because her bodyguards put up a fight. That on the flight down to Gitmo, that she decided it was in her best interest to turn state's evidence And as proof of that, I would suggest we have what appears to me to be a sham obituary. Notice obituaries don't, as a rule, appear so quickly, declaring that she is actually dead among the dear but departed, which is a kind of cover they want to give her to keep her from excess pressure or assassination herself, given, if I am correct, she is now outlining everything the agency was doing here, which appears to have been massive involvement. Brute, your thoughts.
Well, I was going to make comments about Lynn Wood. You know, he defended Richard Jewell for the Olympic bombing case, and he also defended the Ramses for JonBenet Ramsey's death. But
yeah, there's
two points
good there.
But hey, really? I mean, I know it was allegedly Haspel was in Frankfurt and all that jazz is being said, but you're saying that there's an actual obituary for her and all this? I haven't heard any of this. Please elaborate.
Yeah, I've got it here. Let me track it down.
Share it with me because I haven't heard any of this. Maybe anybody else hasn't heard it either. So go ahead.
First I heard of it.
Well, that's all right. I mean, I don't mind, you know, breaking the news for you guys. I mean, that's what I do is keep up on this stuff constantly. I think the idea of a cover story for her death is perfectly appropriate under the circumstances, assuming, in fact, she's actually cooperating, as I believe to be the case. I'm tracking it down. Meanwhile, Ed, your thoughts?
Well, Paul made a really good point regarding the intelligence agencies involved in Dominion and these voting. I think that is really the third rail that Sidney Powell was touching on that caused the Trump team to distance themselves from her. She kept mentioning that, and I think they said, we can't have that. And I think that's really that is the truth of it. That is probably – they're probably the drafters of it. They probably are the ones who are behind it. They actually have – I imagine if you did a little research, I mean, they have their private equity funded group out of Silicon Valley called Incutel, which percolates these types of things. And I would be willing to bet you'll find Incutel's fingerprints all over that software being used by Dominion. And so, you know, and of course you have all those mergers and acquisitions. Dominion, I don't know, they bought a bunch of companies, a bunch of software, but it's not just Dominion. There are these software vulnerabilities in all of the electronic voting machines. And if you don't take strict protocol to prevent that, then these elections are going to be meaningless. With a stroke of the pen, or I'm sorry, with the stroke of a key on a keyboard, you can change an election.
That's right. And by the way, in response to the challenge, just do an internet search, Gina Haspel obituary. You'll find a half a dozen of them there. So I invite you to do it. Here's one I've just pulled up. It says, Gina Sherry Walker Haspel death obituary, cause of death, found dead, dies, passed away. Ashland, Kentucky, deputy director. Gina Sherry Walker Haspel was found dead at age of 64 on Tuesday, December 1st, 2020. Director of the Central Intelligence Agency, Gina Sherry Walker Haspel of Ashland, Kentucky, United States, has sadly passed away at the age of 64. Her cause of death is yet to be confirmed. We are yet to notice the deceased obituary details. I mean, it's all there. Check it out. And I say, this is just the kind of cover story they'd put out if actually she had turned state's evidence and was cooperating to protect her from being tracked down and assassinated. They'll give her a fake identity if that is how it plays out, if she cooperates and doesn't deserve the death penalty because of her cooperation. So, Brew, did you want to add a further thought of yours?
Yeah, it wasn't a challenge, Jim. It's just, you know, we're so inundated with so many rumors. We get all this misleading stories. People are posting stories. They post fake pictures. They post fake stories. They use stories from five and 10 years ago and then put different names on it to fool us, to make us look like idiots if we start reporting on it, and to discredit us. So
well,
when
Bru,
you bring stories,
this is a fake story. This is a fake obituary, but just what you would expect if what else I've been reporting about her having been apprehended in the raid in Frankfurt on the server. She was wounded. She was being flown to Gitmo. She was being interrogated, and she decided it was in her best interest to lay it all out. I believe that's what has happened, and that this obituary is a cover story. Ed, your thoughts.
And
I came across something indicating that she was considered by Trump as the to be appointed CIA director. Is that correct?
Yes.
Oh my God!
And happened? What happened with that?
What else?
She was appointed CIA director. That's what I'm telling you. She was there in Frankfurt supervising the Dominion recount. After the election against Trump, and she was caught in the race.
So let me ask a question, just for the fun of it, right? I was making a joke. That right now, she's probably having cocktails with Jeffrey Epstein.
Good. We love your jokes, Paul. We're almost to the end here with our conversation with Ed. I want Ed to get a few more words in. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, I have more than that.
Well, by the way, I agree with his assessment. She's probably not dead. And Jeffrey Epstein, just as Jeffrey Epstein's not dead. So I agree with that sentiment.
Yeah, I agree with those both. All right, Paul, squeeze it in.
Okay, so just for the fun of it, Trump's commander-in-chief, he's been commander-in-chief. How hard would it be to take a division, a very modest force of military, surround the CIA, okay, get in there, seize the computers that they want, tell all the lower people that haven't done anything, go home. You're going to get some severance pay. Find a new career. You know,
great
put
Paul.
Some tanks around the building and level it. Okay,
great, that's Paul. That's just great. But the point is, you have to bring the public with you. You have to have the opportunity to win the foundation.
The public is with Trump.
Paul,
the
public, I'm going to cut you
I have a question about
the break. We're on the break. Ed, thanks. You were great. Once again, I can't appreciate you enough. You're wonderful. Thank you. We'll be right back with Rolf Lindgren.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution, Revolution. Radio!
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Just in relation to earlier skepticism expressed by Paul and perhaps to a lesser extent by Brew, there are many excellent commentators on my blog who debate these very issues. One of the best is Will, who just wrote in reply to Ralph Seymour, who suggested that Trump had... He says, R.S., how has Trump demonstrated more than other presidents that he has no control? Common sense seems to show just the opposite. If he was in lockstep with previous administrations, why would he be under attack for the last 4 years? I'll tell you why. Because he never joined the club. No different from what Ventura has said many, many times. He was never part of the club and never played their game. If that is not the case, give me a reason for his being an outsider, and please do not tell me it's all part of an act. In light of the events of the past 4 years, that stance would be absolutely irrational. I agree with Wilt. I'm glad to have, as my next guest today, my dear friend Rolf Lindgren, who's going to comment on recent developments in Wisconsin. Let me preface that by observing that the state-level operation spearheaded by Rudy Giuliani and Gina Ellis seems to be making a lot of headway. We have them, the Trump team, presenting CCTV video in Georgia showing on video how after the members who are doing the counting were sent home because they were closing up for the night. They pulled out box after box of ballots. Four remained behind and proceeded to process them. They were counting the same ballots over and over and over again. We also have in Nevada, a witness in Nevada alleging that USB drives were used to alter the totals in Nevada. And now we have in Wisconsin, the Supreme Court saying that the Trump election contest lawsuit must start in lower courts. I want to pick up here with Rolf. Welcome back to the Raw Deal, Rolf. Glad to have you here.
It's great to have you, Jim. I got some big news. Big news for you right now. This is news that no one in the country knows. It's breaking right now. It's breaking right now. And I have a new poem about the voting in Florida. Here's how it goes. The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a vote to steal. He was in a bind because Biden was way behind. He was willing to make a steal. When he came across a suitcase under a table filled with Biden votes a lot. The devil jumped on a video camera and said, boy, let's video what you got.
Right, Jack? Is that, that's your little ditty, I take it, Rolf. I like it. Yeah, go ahead. Tell us about what's going on in Wisconsin, where you're up close and personal.
Okay, we got some updates here. In Wisconsin, the Supreme Court just kicked the lawsuit back to, I think, to the appeals court vote on a 4-3 vote. So in Wisconsin, we have 4 conservatives and 3 liberals. So we have our own John Roberts in Wisconsin, Judge Hagedorn. So he's not a dependable vote, but he could, you know, we're still holding out hope. He said that the case has to go back to the appellate court before the Supreme Court's going to take it. He cited some procedure or some law somewhere. There's other procedures, though, that say that when you have a case of, you know, statewide massive implications, the Supreme Court can be an original jurisdiction. So he chose to kick it back. You know, we're running out of time. However, according to what I've heard, the case can be back to the Supreme Court in 4 to 5 days. So the thing to remember is the case was not. Well, first of all, 3 of the justices were already concluded that there was fraud. Okay, so that's 3 out of 7. So the case was not kicked back based on the merits, though. It was just a procedural thing. So the news media may make it sound like it was a really bad thing for Trump, but it isn't that bad, because it's going to come back to the Supreme Court, and then maybe Judge Hagedorn will vote on the facts and the law. I know Judge Hagedorn. I've met him before. I know his dad, who was the chairman of the Republican Party of Waukesha County, which is the biggest Republican county in Wisconsin. He used to be the chief legal counsel for Scott Walker back in the Tea Party days. So I'm still holding out hope on this. By kicking it back, you know, it gives him a few more days to think about it.
Well, Rolf, my understanding is that they have actually appointed a judge to consolidate the cases from Milwaukee County and from Dane County to simplify the process, and that what they were doing was basically a legal formality, that they felt the case wasn't ready for the Supreme Court to hear it. But I believe you're correct in your assessment that the we're going to have a 4-3 vote in favor of the Trump position. That would be my prediction. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, the first vote was 4-3 against Trump, but once it comes back, then, you know, we don't know what's going to happen when it comes back. We don't know if it's either going to be 4-3 for Trump or 4-3 against Trump. It looks like there's one judge who's going to make the decision of who wins in Wisconsin. Any one state can start a chain reaction because of what's going on in all these other states. This happened in 1876. You know, there was one guy that made a decision of who the next president was. Did you know that? Rutherford B. Hayes and Samuel Tilden. There were 3 states that had massive corruption: Louisiana, Florida, and South Carolina. So somehow some commission was set up to decide where the electors went. There were 2 sets of electors from each of the 3 states. So 2 sets showed up from each state, so they had to figure out who's going to take the electors. So they set up a commission of 5 people from the House, 5 people from the Senate, and 5 people from the Supreme Court. And it was known that 7 of these people were clearly Republicans and 7 of them were clearly Democrats. And there was one guy that was neutral. So he was going to make the decision, but then he resigned because he decided he wanted to run for office somewhere. So he resigned. Then they put in a guy who was really more of a Republican. He voted, and then Rutherford B. Hayes won the election.
That's,
but it was still one person. One person literally voted for the president in the 1876. In Wisconsin, it's not for the whole presidency, but it's going to be for, well, it could be by the time we get there, because we don't know what's going to happen in these other states. But in Wisconsin,
It's going to come back. I don't know if I told you this yet, but on December 11th at 10 a.m., there's a hearing in Wisconsin on the voter fraud. So there's been an investigation going by the state legislature. I remember our legislature here in Wisconsin is very heavily Republican. It's almost a 2-to-1 ratio. I think it's almost 2-to-1 in the Senate. I think it's 21-to-12 in the Senate. And in the House, I don't have the, I think it's like 66-to-33 or something like that. I mean, it's really close to two-thirds. That means you don't have to have every Republican vote for this stuff, okay?
Yes.
In fact, if Republicans abstained, like in the Senate where it's 21-to-12, you could actually have 8 Republicans just abstain and still pass it 13-to-12. You could have 8 Republicans out of 21 abstain. That's a pretty high percentage. So the idea that this can't pass through the other thing is in the legislature, this is not a criminal case. This is a civil case. In a civil case, the normal standard to win a case is preponderance of evidence. Okay, you don't have to have proof. The media keeps saying, "Where's your proof?" Okay, you don't have to have proof in a civil case. Now, someone might say, "Okay, we need more than just preponderance because this is a really big thing," but you know, then sometimes they use a standard called clear and convincing evidence. I think we already have that. In Wisconsin, the lawsuit in Wisconsin is a slam dunk win for Trump based on the laws and the facts. They've proven that the state laws were not followed on over 200,000 votes in Wisconsin, and we know that the margin right now is about 20,000 votes. That's a 10-to-1 ratio of votes. So it really comes down to whether the judges are going to follow the laws and the facts or not. 3 of our Supreme Court justices are. And by the way, in the Republican Party, we get every time a judge runs for office, they show up at our meetings and they say, "We're running," and they always say the same thing. Here's what they say: "I will judge the case based on the law as written, not based on my own opinions or how I wish the law would be. I will base it on the law as written." In other words, the legislature writes the laws, and then the judiciary, and they don't use the word interprets the law, but they when they say they interpret the law, they mean they just follow the law as written. The plain language of the text is another way you can say it. But that's what they always say, including Judge Hagedorn, including Rebecca Bradley, who's clearly on the right side of this. Also, Judge Rogensack and Judge Ziegler are all in on the Trump lawsuit. It's obviously the facts and the law clearly show that over 200,000 votes were not cast legally per the Wisconsin statutes. Now, the Democrat side of the argument always something like this: "We don't want to disenfranchise people." Okay, so let's say that somebody voted and they didn't follow the law by accident. They got bad advice from the clerk or something. Okay, that might be true, but what about the people who did follow the rules? What about those people? Don't they have rights too? And by the way, voting isn't even a right. It's a privilege. Voting is a privilege. It's a created right by the legislature, the voting for president. It's not a right. Maybe voting for governor is a right, but not voting for president. It's a privilege. So what has to happen at some point is the Democrats use these terms to scare people. They say you're going to disenfranchise them. It's the same thing with the race card. When they use the race card, people are like, I don't want to be called a racist. Okay, well, people who are not racists are in fear of being called a racist. Many people are, although fewer are. Trump has shown that you can do the right thing, and if someone plays the race card, not to be afraid of it, because people are sick of it. A lot of people are sick of it, and a lot of people are sick of the disenfranchisement card. The reality is that people can vote. Have you ever met anybody who was disenfranchised? Have you ever met anybody who couldn't vote because of some government rule? Everybody can vote unless they're in jail Or if you're on probation, you can't vote. But otherwise, everybody else can vote. If you're not a legal citizen, you can't vote. If you're visiting from another state, you can't vote here. But otherwise, people can vote in this country. Well, so the idea that people are disenfranchised is a crock. People aren't.
This election has proven even the dead can vote.
Yeah, now there's a lawsuit in Nevada, which I got right here, some highlights from it. Nevada is probably the least important of the six states. For one reason, it has the fewest number of electoral votes. It only has six. It's also the only one of the six states that has a Democrat legislature. But according to this lawsuit, 42,000 people voted more than once, and 1,500 dead people voted. And I don't have the number, but a lot of people had fake addresses, including RV camps and casinos. Okay. Now, the margin in Nevada is 33,500. Okay. So in this one, it's not quite as overwhelming, 42,000 to 33,000. It's not as overwhelming as other places. So what is the standard for overturning an election? You know, the real thing they should do is they should order another election. That's what they should do. Okay? But, of course, we don't have time to do that. So then, you know, if there isn't time for another election, then the legislature has to figure it out. But in Nevada, I wouldn't call it a slam dunk, but it's certainly a pretty good case. It's still more votes than the margin that are not legal. I mean, if you voted once, that's not legal. Okay, and think about Nevada. It's a visiting location, right? Now, I don't know how many people visited Nevada this year because of the pandemic, but I could see, let's say you're from Illinois, okay? You go to Nevada for a vacation, and someone says, hey, you should vote in Nevada since you're from a state that's not a battleground state. Just vote in Nevada, and you can help Joe Biden, okay? I could see an organized system of trying to get people who are visiting from California, especially, which is a huge, think of how many Democrats visited Nevada this year. What if there's an organized system to get people from non-battleground states like Oregon, Washington, California, Illinois, people, states like that, maybe even New Mexico, and say, vote here in Nevada, okay? It could be because that's a lot of people. 42,000 people. These are people who actually voted twice. So some people may have come to Nevada and voted, and then went back to California and voted there too. That's what this lawsuit says. 42,000 people did that. How many people just voted in Nevada but didn't vote when they went back? Is that even legal? You know.
Yeah.
I know you don't have to. I know in Nevada you can get married and get divorced right away. But I don't know if you can vote right away. In Nevada, you probably can't legally. So Nevada is on the table. We've heard a lot about Pennsylvania and Michigan. There was a hearing with Rudy Giuliani, has been to Michigan. There was a hearing in Arizona, and there was a hearing in Pennsylvania. So Rudy Giuliani, to my knowledge, has hit three states and directly advocated to the state legislatures. Okay, those three states are enough for Trump to win. And he doesn't even have to get the votes from those states. All they have to do is not give the votes to Biden in those three states. Arizona is 11, Michigan is 16, and Pennsylvania is 20. That's enough votes to knock Biden below 270, those three states. Wisconsin has 10 votes. Nevada has 6 votes. Georgia has 16 votes. Georgia is the evidence in Georgia. Not only do they have the votes, they kick everybody out of the room. Then they find the suitcases under the tables, of separated from other votes. And then 10 or 15 minutes after that happens, that's when these voter dumps started, where all of a sudden there's 100,000 votes for Biden or whatever it was. Okay, so it even times up with the vote numbers that were coming in. Okay, how much more evidence do you need? And why would anybody support an election where they have evidence like this? Because this is more than just preponderance of evidence. This is more than just a clear and convincing. This is actually proof of voter fraud. I mean, how much more evidence do you need? And why would any legislator support an election conducted like this? Why would anybody support it? It's ridiculous. Okay, and remember, Georgia has a majority of Republicans on their both arms of their legislature. So we have six states in play, and my guess is that if one state does it, then Trump's going to win, because then at least two more will do it. That's my guess.
Very, very, very good, Rolf. I agree completely. Meanwhile, Trump has announced Biden can't be president if we're right about voting fraud. There's no doubt that he's right about voting fraud. The evidence is massive and overwhelming. You've only illustrated a few samples of the proof that this was a fraudulent election. As I see it, Rolf, there are three plans in place. Plan A, that the state legislatures confronted with this massive evidence decide to determine the electors on their own and go for Trump, as you are suggesting. Plan B, that Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood, if he's not a traitor, carry the case to the Supreme Court, that voters were treated differently, that Democratic votes and voters were treated differently than Republican votes and voters, such that the Supreme Court will rule that this was will nullify the election as a violation of the 14th Amendment and send it to Congress, where the House will vote each state having one vote to cast for president, the Senate for vice, and where, because there are 26 states minimally that will vote Republican, Trump will again be reelected president. Or plan C, no doubt the least desirable, but which might come into play if plan A and plan B both fail, to declare a state of insurrection and have a revote conducted under the supervision of the military with paper ballots and hand counts. How do you assess those alternatives?
Well, like I said, if it goes to the House, the Republicans, and I'm not sure, I have to double check. I don't know if you use the new, I think you use the new House, not the old House, to do the voting. And the new House is going to have 26 or 27 state delegations, Republican, and I think between 20 and 23 Democrat with the other split. So it's actually stronger than it was. It's 26 to 24 right now. Okay, so it could be an advantage of 23 to 26 at a minimum, or 27 to 20 at best. Also, if you might wonder, why do they do this? Some of you are wondering, why do you do it like this? You vote by state delegation. What they're doing is they're mimicking the voting in the Articles of Confederation. In the Articles of Confederation, you can have each state sent between 2 and 7 delegates to the Continental Congress, or then later called the Confederation Congress, but each state only got one vote. So if you had 7 delegates, or you had 2 delegates, you still only got one vote per state. That's what they're doing, is they're recreating the Articles of Confederation where each state gets one vote. That's what they're doing. So presumably Trump would win in the House. No, you can't remember, it's not a slam dunk, because there could be a Republican out there somewhere, like Mitt Romney. Now, he's in the Senate, but there could be some Republican out there who doesn't like Trump and says, I'm not going to vote for Trump. I think the popular vote should be the way to do it. There could be some Republican like that. So we'd have to keep our fingers crossed and see what happens. Now, that doesn't mean that Biden will win in the House either. It could mean that you have a deadlocked vote in the House. And this happened in 1800, and we had a deadlocked vote between Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr. But after about 33 votes, finally Alexander Hamilton went and talked to James Bayard, who was a delegate from Delaware, and James Bayard flipped his vote to Trump, or not to Trump, to Jefferson, and both being advocates for liberty, of course. He flipped his vote to Jefferson, and Jefferson finally beat Aaron Burr. That happened in 1800. In 1824, we had a deadlock, too, in the House. We had 4 candidates with electoral votes. Andrew Jackson got first. John Quincy Adams got second. William Crawford got third. And he's not famous today, but his, like, Crawford County, that's named after William Crawford. He was a big name in those days. And then the fourth candidate was Henry Clay. Those four got electoral votes. The fifth candidate was John Calhoun, and he went decided to run for vice president. So he's dropped out of the presidential race, and he ended up being the vice president. In fact, he's the only vice president ever elected by the Senate. But getting back to the 1824 election, he had four candidates. So when they went to the House, none of the state delegations had, none of the candidates had a majority. So there was a deal cut between John Quincy Adams and Henry Clay, who were considered more of the establishment candidates at the time. And then Henry Clay threw his support in the House to John Quincy Adams. And then John Quincy Adams agreed to appoint him to be the Secretary of State, which was the most important cabinet position at the time and considered the launching pad for presidents. And then John Quincy Adams won in the House, defeating Andrew Jackson, even though Andrew Jackson had the most popular votes and the most electoral votes in that election. Now, it was perfectly legal, but it seemed unsavory to Jackson and to many people. So Andrew Jackson referred to this as the corrupt bargain in 1824. He never accepted the results of the election. And then in 1828, he came back and ran again and crushed John Quincy Adams in 1828. And then, of course, he went back in 1832 and won another big victory. And he also got rid of the central bank as well, fighting the establishment, probably the closest example of Trump that we have in history is Andrew Jackson being like Trump. He was called an uncouth person, a Westerner, not when I say Westerner, I mean someone who's not from the civilized parts of the country, someone who was not as educated, someone who was using foul language, someone who was rough and tumble, and then, of course, someone who took on the establishment. Andrew Jackson, of course, got rid of the Federal Reserve, the Federal Bank, the Central Bank, and Trump, of course, is going after the swamp. So it's a very close analogy.
Yeah. Rolf, I'm very impressed with all your historical knowledge and analogies. Excellent. I hope you will stay for callers. The number 540-352-4452. I repeat, callers, 540-352-4452 to speak to Rolf Lindgren and me about these issues. If you called before, call again.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
and we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
All right. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer with you on The Raw Deal, where I have my special guest of second hour, Rolf Lindgren. We have a caller from Texas, Bruce. Join the conversation.
Yeah. Hey, guys. This is Bruce in Texas. Long time since we last talked.
Glad to have you here, Bruce. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, sure. Before I get into the election, I just want to throw a quick sports question at you. What do you think about Mike Tyson stepping back into the ring? Anything?
Bruce, that's pretty far remote from what we're discussing. I'll tell you, I've got a comparison photograph of Michelle Obama and Mike Tyson from behind, and Michelle is every bit as hefty as Mike Tyson. I'm all for Mike Tyson doing what he wants to do. That's just great. A little boost to the boxing establishment. Give us your thoughts about the election.
Yeah, I was just, boomer cheering on another guy. You know how we kind of live vivaciously to other people. Anyhow. I want to ask Rolf, is it possible, how come Dominion is dodging all these hearings on a civil case? Can't they be subpoenaed, and can't their machines be forced into evidence?
Well, they can be. I mean, you can subpoena people, but remember, they're not working. They're working separately from the Trump campaign right now. So they haven't had a lot of, I think the Dominion argument is more of a theoretical argument, because remember, when you do a recount, I was at a recount in Wisconsin. We didn't find any votes that were switched by a machine. Plus, we don't even use Dominion machines here. So I think that the Dominion lawsuits are more for public relations and are theoretical in nature. In other words, it's possible there could be votes switched. Like let's say there was a cyber war, then, maybe there could be vote switching if there was a cyber war. But as far as any actual votes being switched, I haven't seen much of it. I saw a couple reports, but you know, I don't know if there's anything to it or not. So I don't really have an answer outside of I do support the lawsuits moving forward, though. But the Trump lawsuits are much stronger lawsuits. They have actual votes that are not cast legally. Okay. They've right. actually found the votes and identified the votes. With the Dominion thing, I don't think they've really identified what the vote, which votes they're talking about. So it's more theoretical, and it does have a good. It also is important for public relations because people don't believe the people think there's voter fraud. So any person who files a lawsuit and raises questions about voting, that's still good because part of this is you know a lot of judges you might. You know, judges are affected by public opinion too. You know, whenever there's a major precedent set by the Supreme Court, it's often because public opinion has moved strongly in favor of something, and then finally the Supreme Court says, "Okay, yeah, that's right," and then they make a ruling. So I'm just saying is that there is a judges are affected by public opinion. That's why the media tries to do fake polls and spin the. If you think that everybody supports Trump, then you may like Trump. If you think everybody hates Trump, then you may not like Trump. See, that's another way public opinion affects people. It's the herd instinct.
These judges, they have, you know, they have peers and they have their social circles and they have their professional, you know, acquaintances. And the way the gaslighting through the media, it's acting like a PR agency for the Democratic National Committee and the oligarchs who fund it, the Silicon Valley oligarchs, even Soros et al., you know. And I'm concerned about, you know, you say the last option is declare a state of emergency. You can imagine what the media is going to do. They're going to they're going to mobilize people, you know, the NPCs, the normies, into hysteria, and they're going to, you know, that's about my last comment on this topic. Go ahead.
No, Bruce, that's good.
There's one negative side to Sidney Powell's lawsuit. As different than Trump's lawsuit is simply that illegal votes are cast for Democrats. Okay, that's what Trump is talking about. When you have vote changing theories, one negative side effect is that what if someone doesn't vote for Trump because they say, oh, they're just going to change my vote to Biden anyway. I'm not going to vote. Okay. And we have that problem in Georgia. There's a Senate race in Georgia, two Senate races, which will decide the control of the United States Senate. Republicans are ahead 50-48 right now. If it's a 50-50 tie, then the tie could be broken by Kamala Harris if she gets in there. So the point is that Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood apparently both stated that to boycott the election until the voter machines are fixed. Okay? Well, that's one of the problems with vote conspiracy theories because some people may not vote. People who shouldn't be vote. If you don't trust the establishment, you should be voting against the establishment. If you don't know who to vote for someone, but don't vote for the establishment or the swamp or whoever it is. And if you get too paranoid and you just don't vote, that actually helps the establishment. In fact, sometimes I think the establishment promotes voter conspiracy theories because they want if they can get a whole bunch of people really paranoid, then they won't even vote at all, and then the establishment can win. So that's another thing to remember.
Yeah, understood. All right, thank you, Rolf, and thank you, Jim.
Oh, Bruce, thanks for calling in.
Are you going to try to get Jesse Ventura back on your show again, or is that going to be it?
I don't think Jesse would be very enthusiastic about the idea. We go way back, but it became obvious that Jesse really hadn't followed the mask controversy and was not current It, for all of us, it's incumbent upon us to do research on these issues, and there's a mass of evidence, I mean, serious scientific studies that show how damaging masks are to human beings and other living things. If you just go to my blog at jamesfetzer.org and start working backward, you'll find probably a dozen, some of the very best studies about masks that explain how that it's virtually criminal to impose masks upon children and young people because their rate of growth is so great. They need that oxygen. What you're doing is recycling oxygen-depleted air, that it's a great way to develop bacterial infections in your lungs that are virtually untreatable. It's such a serious matter. It's destroying brain cells that are irreplaceable. So that in the past, I predicted when we get through this, there will be a drop in the average IQ of Americans by 5 points. I now believe, since Biden is talking about further lockdowns and the latest studies, which I'll be reporting on today and should be blogging later today, show that the increase in deaths occur after lockdown. But basically, they're perpetrating the fraud by simply reclassifying people who have died as having died with COVID-19 to give you the impression they had died from COVID-19. It's a monstrous scam on multiple levels. Bruce, I'm really glad you called in. Good stuff.
Yeah, I hope you patched. Yeah, good stuff. And I hope you just patched things up. I hate to see a friendship, relationship, and someone who I've followed over the years, you know, be trolled off the air, you know.
I'm a huge fan of Jesse, and you know we all have our limitations. It's very, very interesting. Rolf, I have a new report that Andrea Mitchell has been canceled for questioning the Biden team's transparency. That's pretty damn interesting.
Say that again. She was what?
That some interviewer showed she was doing where she was questioning the transparency of the Biden administration has been blocked. That's pretty damn interesting because Andrea Mitchell's about as mainstream as they come. You know, she's even...
Well, see what happens is once... Right now, they're not 100% sold. The mainstream media, they're trying to act like Joe Biden's the president-elect, but they're not 100% sold that he really is. As soon as... If it comes, I mean, we don't know what's really going to happen. I'm still not going to say that I predict Trump's going to win the election, although I think he should win the election. But let's say that Biden gets in there. Okay, as soon as Joe Biden is the president, then the media is going to change a lot because they're going to make Biden do what they want him to do. Okay, that's why Joe Biden is the perfect candidate for the deep state. Because he'll just do what they want him to do, and if he doesn't do it, they'll just run a negative story about him on TV, and then he'll just do it then.
Rolf, let me get your take.
Andrea Mitchell may just, you know, maybe she's just going back to, you know. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, let me get your take on a story that relates to the first hour of the show. Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas fired back at the exhortation from pro-Trump attorney L. Lynn Wood to Republicans to boycott the Senate runoff election in Georgia until officials change election security policy. Wood and Sidney Powell, the attorney who represented General Mike Flynn, called for voters to boycott the runoff election that would determine control of the U.S. Senate and could keep Democrats from seizing all three branches of government. Cruz pushed back and called Wood a clown in a missive sent out Thursday. I don't know who this clown is, but anyone saying America would be better off with Chuck Schumer as majority leader, producing huge tax increases, the Green New Deal, massive amnesty, and a packed Supreme Court destroying the Bill of Rights, is trying to mislead the people of Georgia.
Well, remember, Lynn Wood is not working for the Republican Party per se. He's working on a lawsuit with Sidney Powell.
Right.
He's not representing me or you or Senator Perdue or Senator Loeffler or President Trump. He's not representing. So what he's doing is it's obviously very unfortunate that he said that. That's one of the problems of it. He's not representing the Republican Party. He's representing one specific case in Georgia.
Yeah, in my opinion.
What he says shouldn't really, it shouldn't affect most people, but if it affects some people, then it could cost the election. You're right.
I believe that Trump going down to encourage everybody to vote is going to override it massively. People will say, who was this Lynn Wood guy? I think he made a tremendous mistake in making that announcement. It may have been to try to pressure the Georgia government to correct how they conduct this election, but it's going to be the most closely scrutinized in American history, I think, Rolf, these two Senate votes in Georgia.
It could be. Like I said, Lynn Wood's lawsuit, it's good that they're doing it, but as I just said earlier, that's in other countries, they do this sometimes, they boycott elections. Okay, I've seen it happen in other countries, but the problem is that there's not enough. For that to work, you'd have to have a massive amount of people supporting it. Lynn Wood doesn't have a massive amount of people agreeing with him.
I disagree with him completely about this issue, and I think Ed Hendry's critique from the first hour of the show was spot on, and that this is a very bad thing, raising serious questions about L. Lynn Wood's sincerity and dedication to the cause of correcting these major problems. Where I think you made an excellent point, Rolf, that as soon as one state starts to, correct the record here in accordance with the massive evidence of voter fraud, that other states will follow suit. I think that is the simplest and most direct way to resolve this theft of the election.
As soon as one state does it, I think it's gonna be like the domino theory. I got an article here from Snopes debunking Trump's tweets, fraudulent vote dumps gave Biden the election. Okay, and then they also have Rand Paul cited in this article. All they claim is do not attribute a conspiracy to what can be easily explained by demographics. Okay, I read the article. This is an example of an article that does not debunk the vote dumps. The vote dumps are too big and too one-sided to be explained by demographics. So they don't really tell you what the demographics should be. On mail-in voting, I know there's a lot more Democrats that mailed in their votes, but the ratio, like in Pennsylvania, the ratio was like, 5-2 or something. So for every 5 Democrats that mailed in, there were 2 Republicans. Okay, well, 2 out of 7 is still 28%, 28.6%. So I know that the vote dumps were not giving Trump 28% of the vote. Okay, so this is just an example of a garbage debunking. That's why I like to read the debunkers to see if they really debunk.
Yes.
And they don't tell you what the ratio really should be then. They just claim it was expected because there was an article about it. Yeah, I saw the articles that they might not count the mail-in ballots right away. But that doesn't explain the mass, 100,000 votes in a row or 100,000 to 30 to 300 or whatever it was. So this is an example where, to me, after reading this article, it makes me think that there is this is true. I mean, if Rand Paul thinks it's true and the debunker can't debunk it, it's probably because it's true, right? So it's not debunked. Another debunking they have on here, this is about the COVID. It says, this is factcheck.org. It says, flawed analysis leads to false claim of no excess deaths in 2020. It was a John Hopkins report that there's no excess deaths in this year. They claim that there's some excess deaths in this article, but, you know, it's just it's just someone's opinion. It's not really it doesn't fact check it. It's really just two different people. Two different scientists can analyze the same data and have two different views of it. It's just like some scientists. What's that?
Here's a brand new report, absolutely in accord with what you've been observing. The chairman of the Michigan House Oversight Committee, Matt Hall, a Republican, asked Dominion Voting Systems contractor Melissa Caron to confirm that she witnessed election workers repeatedly reinserting the same ballots through the tabulator machine on multiple occasions. She explained she literally watched thousands and thousands of the same ballots being pushed through the vote tabulator at the TCF Center. Chairman Hall told Crone that they would like to talk to Dominion.
Which state is this in?
Michigan. Michigan. But so far they have refused to appear before the committee. I will note that Dominion won't come before the committee. I've asked them, and so far they've refused. We need answers from them about how their machines work, adding they're going to continue to pursue their request to Dominion. But, Rolf, the fact that Dominion won't appear, of course, is very, very telling.
Well, it's telling, but it's also, you know, a lot of people don't want to go to court, you know. I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, I've had earlier reports.
Most people don't want to go to court unless you're trying to help someone else out or something. Then you might want to go. But otherwise, you know, if you run a company like that, you know, I'm not saying that they're good. I'm just saying is that just because they don't want to go to court, they're also going to run the clock out because they know if they resist the subpoenas now, what they're hoping is that after the election is all the way over, then that people will forget about these lawsuits. Otherwise, people won't be paying attention. They don't want to get bad publicity. And they probably do have, there's probably a lot of questions that they can't answer. They probably have people from foreign countries who own, you know, stock in the company or whatever they have, parts of the company.
Yeah.
Do they have people from Venezuela? I've heard Venezuela, China, you know, Germany. There's probably people, vote counting machines should not be made in China. They shouldn't be made in Venezuela. They should be made in America, period. They shouldn't, it's an issue of national security. If there's a cyber war, we don't want machines. You know, the United States has all kinds of stuff in other countries. We know that. We know that there's been cyber, the CIA has power in other little countries. We don't want other countries putting stuff in our machines or even having the blueprints to our machines.
You're absolutely right, Rolf. We have Paul calling back in. Paul, go ahead. Join the conversation.
Yeah, thanks. Just a couple of quick points. First of all, Rolf, I really appreciate the work that you've been doing. There's a lot of interesting details you've revealed the last couple of appearances. But it's worth keeping in mind, and I'm sure, you know, this will ring a familiar bell with Jim, but the fact of the matter is, this is obvious to most average intelligent Americans, what's occurring. And what's occurring, of course, is not good for anybody. It's obvious that one side does not want, you know, to have a fair election or a recount. And so what has to be made clear is that we have enemies, and the enemies are of the American people, of everybody. And the press is essentially a monolith. There isn't any fair coverage of this anywhere, either in print or, you know, on the TV. And if you go and just turn the radio dial, which I have recently, it's amazing that you would expect, for example, such austere places as PBS or NPR to do somewhat of a fair job, but they are all anti-Trump and pro-Democrat. And the bottom line is even regular people got to know that there's nobody's going to be benefited by this sort of a fraud or a sham. And that's why if Trump gets reelected, he has got to arrest and take down the media, because if nothing else, they're all guilty of incitement to riot earlier this year. And of course, they're guilty of telling lies, which could be construed as treason. So again, I just
want to make sure. That might sound nice, but That might sound nice, but if President Trump took down the news media, what if the next president? It's the same thing when you have a monarchy. You might have a really good king.
It doesn't matter.
But then later you get a bad king. Then what do you do?
Life or death of the nation. This is Jim will agree with this. This is life or death of our country.
Yeah. Trump just made a statement. If the defense authorization bill, the NDAA, doesn't eliminate Section 230, he won't sign it.
And 230 specifies?
Section 230 of the Telecommunications Act gives Facebook and Twitter and all Google and all this protections from liability.
What?
So they protections from liability. Now, what Trump really wants is he doesn't necessarily really want Section 230 eliminated. He wants Section 230 rewritten so that if you're administering a website, you take down like death threats and stuff, and you know maybe if you want to get rid of racist comments, blatant. Just different opinions about COVID-19 or different opinions about voting, that should not be.
The point remains, though, is that when Trump is gone, these people, our enemies, will still be there. Okay, so it doesn't really matter at this point.
You made wonderful points. I have to squeeze.
It'd be nice if the New York Times was a co-conspirator in the deep state cases.
If your mind's open to conspiracies, check out my False Flag and Conspiracies 2020 conference. Go to falseflagconspiracies2020.com. 50% discount, $50 for 24 speakers over the next 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, only $50. You'll have access to the archives for at least a month, possibly much longer. Check it out, falseflagconspiracies2020.com. This is one you don't want to miss. I can't thank Ed Hendry and Rolf Lindgren enough. The callers, Brew, Paul, excellent. Mitchell made marvelous contributions. I'm delighted with the Wednesday, Friday schedule. It will continue on Monday. Check back with a raw deal. I'm very glad you're here and glad to be on Revolution Radio. Support it every way you can. Thanks for being here.
Listening to Revolution.